Life Point. It is so good to see you. I just want to say God is alive and well in Hampton Roads, and it is very clear God's alive and well right here in Fredericksburg. This is a full house. If you're joining us online or at another campus, I just want to say God bless you. We're going to have some fun today, and we're going to talk about the faithfulness of God. Go ahead and have a seat. I'm sorry. You don't need to keep standing. I'm excited to be with you. It's been about a year and a half since I've been here, so if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, he already introduced me to you, and so I you know now my name is Eddie Cole. My wife is preaching right now down in Hampton Roads, so that's why she's not with me. And so I was down here on the front row just praying for her, so you all can pray for her and pray for me. We preach, you pray, and it'll be good, all right? So that's how it'll work. But I do have something I want to show you. I have a picture of my family. If those of you that haven't met my wife, in the last year and a half, some things have changed. My only daughter, my only child, got married to a wonderful guy named Connor Wilcox, and they gave us the perfect gift, which is that little baby right there. We call her Perfect Baby, all right? And if I had time, I would do exactly what I'm doing to all of you right now and show you pictures and videos of this perfect little baby. So we love her. Her name is Akilah Lonnie. She just turned one this last week. We had her birthday party yesterday, and so we had a great time. But I'm showing you that because look at the cake. Notice how she dove in. That is her personality, by the way. But more importantly, when you look inside the cake is pink. We have granddaughter number two on the way. I just found out. So I'm coming to you today kind of floating because I've got another little granddaughter on the way, and I'm going to spoil both of them very badly. It's just going to happen. It is so good to be with you, and I just want to say that it's an honor. So thankful that we launched a Life Point Family Church. We had no idea that we were going to do this when we came down, I guess, at the beginning of 2020 or 21, end of 20, beginning of 21. And I tell you, when we came down, we knew we were going to go plant a church, but we didn't know it was going to be a Life Point family church. But we've joined Life Point Louisville, Life Point Stuttgart. And how many of you are excited about Life Point Phoenix coming up next year? I'm so pumped about that. TJ Williams, he's going to come down and preach for us and take half of our people probably at the beginning of December. So we're excited about that. Phoenix will never be the same after TJ and Courtney go out there. It's going to be great. But we're so excited to be a part of this. God has so blessed this work. And I know you all have been blessed by Pastors Daniel and Tammy. As Pastor Daniel said, we go a long way back. I knew him before he pastored such a large church and went to all these conferences and preached there. I'm so proud of him. I'm like an older brother. I'm almost 5 years older than him. I couldn't be prouder of him for the man that he's become. He's got four beautiful kids. And just watching how God has given him anointing to speak to leaders, other pastors, it's really powerful. So y'all keep them in prayer and pray that God would just continue to strengthen him and that he would walk in humility and strength of confidence of what God's called him to. Will y'all pray with him for that? You're probably already doing that, so I hope so. But if not, add it to your list and pray for them, and you'll be blessed as a result. Here's the thing. He's given me an assignment today to start this faithfulness series, and I'm really excited, not just for my message, but you're going to be a part of, for the next few weeks, you're going to be a part of sitting under his teaching, which is really in his sweet spot. Faith is his sweet spot. My wife says that Daniel has stupid faith, just believes God for crazy things. And God has clearly given him that kind of faith. And he's going to be preaching on God's faithfulness, which is what informs his faith. And anytime you're going to listen to a preacher, a teacher that's talking from their sweet spot, you're going to get something good. And so I'm really excited for you guys. You don't want to miss a Sunday in November, all right? But today, I'm excited to get into the Word with you. I'm going to talk with you about the faithfulness of God to you in the past. And the title of the message is His Faithfulness, My Strength. His Faithfulness, my strength. I want to invite you to look on the screen with me or open up your Bible or whatever device you're carrying and look at 1 Samuel chapter 7. And I really want to encourage you to take some notes as well. I believe this is one of those where you'll want to take a few notes. But in 1 Samuel chapter 7, what you've got is you have this scene where we're going from a period of what is called the period of the judges into a new period. And the transitional figure in all of this is a prophet named Samuel. He was the last of the judges or the last of the leaders for Israel in between the time of Joshua and when they first made a king that was King Saul. And then, of course, David followed Saul. They went through this period where there was just a bunch of people. They called them judges or leaders. And the children of Israel during that time period, every now and then would have a good one. A lot of times they would have not so good leaders. In the middle of that turnover that was going on for quite a while, they would have this cycle and it kept repeating itself. They would have God do something good. Over time, they would drift and then they would sin. As a result of sin, they would fall into consequence and judgment. And then they would get to a point where they would repent and come back and say, "We're sorry, God." And then God would forgive them and restore them. And God would give them a good leader. And then the cycle started all over again, all over again. It was like a Ferris wheel. The thing just kept on turning and turning and turning, but it's not a fun one. It was bad. Samuel comes on the scene, and when Samuel comes on the scene, what's going on is you've got these neighbors called the Philistines. If you've heard of the Philistines, say, uh-huh. All right. The Philistines were a group of people who were their neighbors who were always raiding Israel. They were always coming in. Israel was always having to fight against them. And at this point, when Samuel is coming in, they're at a point of desperation. They're like, "Will you please, Samuel, come and pray for us?" Samuel is known as a prophet, an intercessor. He's known more as being a man of God even than he is just being a leader. And so they call him to come and pray for them. So Samuel goes. But here's what Samuel says to them prior to what I'm reading to you right now. He says to them, "Listen, I will pray for you, but here's what you have to do. You have to get rid of all the false gods that you've collected. You've got to stop the compromise. I'm going to pray for you, and I know that God is faithful. He's proven himself. But he's calling you to rise up to your calling as the children of God. Right now, you're not living at that level. You are living beneath it. Your consequences are the Philistines, but God can give you victory. But what you're going to have to do is stop walking half-heartedly with God. You can't have the gods of all the other nations and add this God, the true God, to your household and think that God's going to honor that. There is one God and only one God. And as a result of that, your worship of that God, then God will bless you." And so that's what Samuel says. He says, "The choice is really up to you. I will pray for you. But if you want to be blessed, you got to get rid of the idols." All right. So here's where we start. They say, "Yes, we're going to do it." And they do. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 6, it says, "Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, 'Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines.' And then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth Kar. And then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen, He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped." So the Philistines were subdued and they stopped invading Israel's territory. And throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. Now, there's a whole lot I would love to squeeze out of that passage with you. I really want to draw your attention to just a couple of things. When you look at this passage, you see in verse 12, it says that Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer. Ebenezer. Ebenezer in the original language means stone of help. Well, how in the world can a stone help somebody? The way a stone helps is by being a perpetual reminder of a moment. And in this particular moment, this stone is set in place to remind the people of Israel of the faithfulness of God. They had just gotten a great victory, and the reason they got the victory was not because of their strength. It was not because of their strategy. It wasn't because of anything that they did in their own scheming. Their victory that day was solely because of the faithfulness of God. That's it. And they set up, Samuel did anyway, an even Ebenezer. And he put it out there so that they would never forget, that they would have to remember anytime they saw that stone, what that stone was about. It was about the faithfulness of God. You see, the reality is that we can often forget any kind of moment, any kind of thing, even when we tell ourselves, "I won't forget that." How many of you would call yourself a little bit forgetful? Yeah. I was talking to a lady from our church last week, and she was telling me about how she had been on the phone with her son, and she's rushing around the house, and she's got to get out of the house, and she's trying to do everything while she's on the phone with her son. And she says in the middle of that conversation, she's like, "And now I can't find my phone." And her son is like, "Mom, what are you doing, Mom?" And she's like, "Bye." He just hangs it up, and that's it. We can forget a lot. We forget more than we care to admit, I think. Keys, wallets, children. I mean, we forget. Forget a lot, right? We forget things, directions. We forget. And by the way, we forget the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And I think that's awful. We ought to remember the faithfulness of God. Boy, if we remember anything, that's a good thing to remember. A very good thing to remember, the faithfulness of God. It's vital that we remember moments of God's faithfulness to us in our past, because these moments, listen to me now, these moments will give us the ability to rest in our present. I'm talking to a room and an audience online of people who I know deal with worry and anxiety and stress. But if you look at the faithfulness of God, you can find rest. Instead of your circumstances, instead of your scheming to figure a way out, if you look at the faithfulness of God, you can find rest even in your mess. You can rest in some mess when God's in the mess with you. How about a lion's den? What about a fiery furnace? How about in the middle of the Red Sea? Ooh. So you can rest in a mess. You can rest in the mess in the present, and it will also give you faith for your future. Man, and I'll tell you, we need some faith for our future. Anybody in here need faith today? We all do. So here's what I want to do. I want to break this message down. I'm going to give you 3 points. I'm going to ask the question, what am I referring to when I'm talking about the faithfulness of God? Then I'm going to make it practical for us before we head out of here. So here's what I'm referring to when I'm talking about the faithfulness of God. First and foremost, his character. God will always be faithful to himself. God will always be faithful to himself. He's an unchanging God. He is perfect and he is unchanging. What he is, he always will be. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, Moses writes, he is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. In the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, we put it this way. In Hebrews 13, 8, we say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have a faithful God. There is no reason whatsoever for him to change. There is no need for him to change. What he has been, he is, and he always will be. Let me tell you about him for just a minute. He is good. He is good. I want you to understand something right now. You may be going through something that does not feel good. I understand. What about suffering? What about pain? What about evil? I understand. Been through it. People in the world are going through it. But I want you to understand this. It doesn't say, the Bible never says that everything is good. It says that God is good. And it also says that God will work all things together for good for those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. He is good. He is good. It's not a question of whether or not he's good. It's a question of whether or not you and I recognize it. That's really the only question. But he is good. Qualitatively, there is none like him. He is a holy God. And what does it mean that he's holy? It means he is unimpeachable. It means there's never been a flaw in him, nor will there ever be. There is nothing that anybody can accuse him of that will stick. He is holy. He is unlike anyone that you have ever met or unlike anyone that I have ever met. The reality is he's holy. He is morally perfect and he is unchanging. This is why Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6, this isn't on the script, but we're going with it. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah's in a mess in his life and in his nation. And that day, Isaiah just lost King Uzziah, 52 years, the king of Israel. And Isaiah is seeking God. God, what's going to happen now? And he has a vision and God takes him to the throne room of heaven. And what does he see there? He sees God high and lifted up on the throne. And he sees angels around the throne singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and who is to come. The angels are there around him, always singing his praises. That's your God. That's my God. You see, the kingdoms and the kings of this world will always be changing, always be shaking, always, always, always. There is no unholiness, no faithfulness this side of heaven that can touch anything that's like in heaven today. You need to know your God. He's holy. He's holy. 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 He's loving. He is perfect. Perfectly loving. God is love. Wow. He is wise. He's omniscient, which means he knows everything. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. He's omniscient. So he has all knowledge, but he also knows with wisdom what to do with what he knows. See, a lot of us know a lot. We don't know what to do with what we know. But God has wisdom to go with his knowledge. And it is on that that he's spinning this world right now and sustaining it by the word of his power. See, you have to understand God is the chief. I mean, he is the chief central figure of all history. He is the focal point of all creation. He is the fixed starting place for everything that has ever existed or ever will exist. Without him, there is nothing. And should God ever change, there will be nothing. But he is God. He is God. He is good. He's loving. He's holy. He's powerful. He's knowledgeable. He's wise. Do you know your God? It is important that you and I know this. Now, some of you are looking at me and saying, why does this excite you so much? Well, I'll just tell you, look at me. I did not look this way 15, 20 years ago. I had hair, more hair. I weighed more. I had some muscles. Clearly, I'm not working out. I preached at a church a few years ago, and I went there. I hadn't been there in a while, and we all had relationships. We knew one another, and I didn't get there. We weren't able to talk before I got up, and I get up, and I looked at them, and I could see in their faces they're, like, checking me out. You ever see people you haven't seen in a while, and, like, you don't want to say, wow, you aged a little, haven't you? But except for my grandmother, every time I would see her, if I put on any weight, she'd be like, well, you've put on a little bit, haven't you? I'd be like, I'm working out, Granny. What are you talking about? I'm there at this church, and I'm looking out, and they're looking at me, and I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking, wow, you guys have aged. And you know they're looking at me thinking the same thing. And they were right. I've aged. I'm not the same. You're not the same that you were 10 years ago. A lot of times change is for the better. A lot of times it's not. Here's what I want everyone in here to know. Everything that God has ever been, He is now. And He always will be. He is holy, He is good, He is loving, He is just. And by being just, what that means is what He will do will always be right. It is going to be the right thing even when you can't make sense out of it. Even when your read on the situation says, that doesn't add up to that, what you need to know is that He knows the end of the story. And because He knows the end, He's going to do the right thing. He's a faithful God. And listen, as I said before, He is faithful first and foremost to His own character. And that's good for you. And that's good for me. He doesn't change no matter how much we cry, no matter how much we complain, no matter how much we whine. He has no need to change because He's perfect. Get to know your God. He's wonderful, holy, good, loving. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. What He is perfectly, and He is eternally. And the second thing I want to mention is that He is faithful in His commitment to His word. And He has committed Himself to His word in absolute measure. Moses writes in Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not human that He should lie, not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? Of course, this is a rhetorical question. Moses is saying this at the end of his life, looking back at all the goodness of God to bring them out of Egypt, to bring them across the Red Sea, to bring them safely to the other side, to provide for them for 40 years straight. He's looking at the faithfulness of God, and Moses is saying to the people of God, God is not human. He has no need to change His mind. If He speaks, He will do it. If He promises, He will fulfill it. I used to see those bumper stickers that would say, and if you have one, please don't be offended. Those bumper stickers that say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Anybody ever seen those? How many of you know it doesn't really matter if you believe it or not? It does matter in the sense of if you want God's promise to apply to your life, that matters. But in fact, if God has ultimately determined something, it's just up to us to believe it. In fact, if God said it, that's it. That's it. See, we serve a God who never forgets. He never fails. He never wears down. The Bible says He never sleeps nor slumbers. He never lies. He cannot lie. He's not unfaithful. He isn't fickle. He is not unpredictable. He is not moody. He's not growing old. Amen. He's not getting tired. He doesn't get confused. He's not administratively challenged. Hallelujah. You're never going to ask God something and Him be like, you know, a few weeks later, oh my God, I was so busy that week. You're not going to get to heaven and get that report. He has not forgotten about you. He is faithful. He is faithful. If God has said it, it is coming to pass. If God has promised, you just keep believing. He never forgets. You will never wear Him down. The enemy cannot stop Him. He doesn't wake up in bad moods, as I said a few minutes ago. As a matter of fact, at the end of his life, Joshua said this: "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors. And they took possession of it and they settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of the enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." Hey, listen to this. I don't know your name. I don't know everybody's name if you're watching online. But if you were to put your name in there, not one of all the Lord's good promises to take Israel out, put your name in there. Not one will fail. You're going to get to the end, and I'll get to the end, and we'll see. Everyone was fulfilled. Wow. God's commitment to his word is absolute. Let me tell you, if you're in the middle of something right now, you may not see it. You may not understand it. It feels like you're going through hell. I want you to understand this right now. It just means the story isn't over, because God is faithful. Let me encourage you right now. Would you start right now to look back in your past at all the times that God's been faithful to you? And use those times of God's faithfulness in your past to remind you of God's faithfulness in your present and what God's gonna do in the future. Are y'all with me? If you're in something right now, hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to the word of God. Keep believing God. He is faithful. He is faithful. And the final thing I want to mention regarding the faithfulness that I'm talking about is his covenant faithfulness. It's unbreakable. His covenant faithfulness is unbreakable. God is a God of covenants. He made several covenants. You can look in the scriptures. When he made one with Noah, he said, "The sign that you know that I'm not going to break this, I'll never do this again, where I bring this kind of judgment on the earth, is going to be a rainbow in the sky." And that sign, every time it goes up, that's God's way of saying to the world, I'm not going to give that kind of judgment again. God made covenant with Abraham. God made covenant with David. When he made a covenant with David, he said to David, he says, "I'm going to raise up a seed from you, and he will sit on the throne forever and forever." And David's throne is secure because we know that Jesus was the one we call the Son of David. When Jesus came and established a new covenant. The new covenant, we see Jesus establishing that the night before he's crucified. He takes his disciples into the upper room, and he says in Matthew chapter 26, after they hang out for a while, he does some teaching, they have a meal together, and here's what Jesus did. He took the bread, and it says when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." I just want you all to know that word, that covenant, wasn't just for them that day. That's for you and I today. Are you all with me? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. I want you to know that covenant is what we're living by this very day. When God enters a covenant, he keeps it. There are men and women that say, "I do," and take covenants and oaths and all that kind of stuff all across the world today, and they can't keep it in their own power. Or they just flippantly don't even try to keep it. I want you to know that's not the nature of your God. When God makes a covenant, God intends to keep it. And so here's a way I can picture it for you. If you were to look back and you were to look at how serious God is about keeping covenant, I want you to think back about that night before God brought the children of Israel across the Red Sea. He's bringing them out of Egypt. He's going to take them over there across the Red Sea so they would be forever free from Egyptian bondage. Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. All right, here's what I want you to see. That night, he told them, "Hey, this is going to be the final plague. This is going to be the final judgment. This is going to be your way out of Egypt. Pharaoh will want you gone. I'm going to kill all the firstborn. But here's how you can spare your child. You're going to take a lamb and you're going to sacrifice it. You're going to put the blood on the sidepost and over the top of your door. And that night, when the angel passes by, the death angel passes over, it's going to see the blood and it's going to pass by. and no one in your house will be touched. And I want you to know, they could have gone into that night one of two different ways. They could have gone into that night feeling very confident, saying, you know what? God's been good to us. God's been faithful. Look at the plagues and look at how God has spared us. Look, God's going to deliver us. We can trust God with this. And they can go in and just go right to sleep. Or here's another way they could go into that night. They could go in saying, I hope this works. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know what I've done. I mean, I know what we've done as a family. We're so far from perfect. I don't know. I know it's going to work, but I don't know about this. I know it's going to work for some. It's going to work for the Floyds. It might work for Michael Gregory. I don't know. It's going to work. It's going to work for the neighbors. But we know us. We know behind closed doors what we really are. We're unfaithful. At least we're not perfectly faithful. We're a little bit fickle. They could have gone in the room that night and worried themselves all the way through the night. Anxious, upset, because their eyes are on themselves, thinking about their lack of faithfulness, their lack of ability to be holy, to be good, to be perfect, to be just, to be right. They could have looked at their ability and lived like that. Or they could have just gone to sleep and trusted in the faithfulness of God. Here's what I want you to know. When Jesus hung on that cross, that was the blood of the new covenant. And you see, the reality is for me and for you, we come to Jesus, and here's the new covenant. We bring Jesus our sin, our rebellion. We bring him our insecurities. We bring him our fears. We bring him every time we've ever messed up, every time we ever will mess up. We bring him all of those things. And what does Jesus give us? When we simply come in humility, in repentance, and we give him all of that, you know what Jesus does? He says, I will cover you. And he gives you forgiveness. And he says, now you're in me. You are in me and I am in you. You see, you come into Christ. It's like going into that home with blood over the doorpost and over the lintel. It's going to be this. No judgment from God will ever come your way. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus wants us to rest in his faithfulness. Jesus wants to look back at our lives and say, God has been faithful all the way till this very moment, and I know I can trust him going into the future. Whatever obstacle is in your way, ladies and gentlemen, whatever challenge you are facing, I want you to know it's not about you. It's about the faithfulness of God. Trust in the Lord. I want to show you something. I brought some journals of mine. These are my Ebenezers. I've got stories. I've got Ebenezers in my mind for 30 years of walking with Jesus. This is one from 1996. I was very spiritual. There's a verse on the front of this little journal. I would never have guessed that I even bought that journal, but it's got some great stories of the faithfulness of God in it. I read a couple of them preparing to talk to you. God providing for me and my wife. When one time I told a kid I was going to pay for his school to go back to school, a Christian academy, for a whole year, I thought it was going to cost $250 because that's what the little kid told me. I was like, buddy, I got you. You're crying, man. Just trust the Lord. And all in my mind, I'm like, $250? I got that. No problem. Come to find out, it wasn't $250. Do you know God provided every bit of that? And I was poor. That's in here. I've got this one that has the anonymous prayer on it. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change. Courage. There's a lot of good ones in there too. Growing in the Lord. Then I'm an academic. So I pulled out my Martin Luther journal right here. It had to look more academic, like leather and everything. And then I've got this one. This is more recent. I have all kinds of Ebenezers that remind me of the faithfulness of God in my past, and that enables me to look to the faithfulness of God and trust the faithfulness of God in the future. Can I ask you a question? Where are you recording the faithfulness of God in your life? Oh, I'll remember it. Will you? Will you? You're not going to remember everything. I know I won't. I've pulled up to the ATM and forgotten my number that I've used 1,000 times. Totally went blank. I'm like, I don't even drink anymore. I don't know what's going on. No drugs. I'm drug free. I just say no everywhere. And I can't. Why am I forgetting this? What's going on? I forget all kinds of stuff, but you know why I did this? So I won't forget. Let me show you one more little Ebenezer that God gave me. Can you guys put the picture up there real quick? That little perfect baby right there is an Ebenezer in my life. Look at her. She's perfect, isn't she? Yes, she's perfect. Look at that little perfect face. You see, the reality is that little baby right there reminds me of the faithfulness of God. And here's why. Because the journey for my daughter to go through what she went through to meet the man that she ultimately married and have this baby with was one that was sheer torture for me. I honestly didn't know if I was going to make it. I'm a dad of an only daughter, a very protective dad. And when I was watching her go through her pain, I'm like, oh, and I can do nothing, nothing. I can't scheme. I can't fight. I can do nothing. And then God sends this guy into her life, and he's a good guy. Now I love him like my own son. Look what the two of them gave me, and my wife. So here's how I want to end this. I think had I just been focusing on the faithfulness of God while I was going through all of that, watching my daughter hurt, had I been going through all of that, reminding myself of these things, what's in here, and how good God has been to me in the past, I would have been a lot more peaceful. I would have been a lot more joyful. I want to focus on the faithfulness of God. I want you to focus on the faithfulness of God. Sometimes your best way forward is to start by looking back. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, I want to tell you today, you can find hope and life and joy and peace, forgiveness, nowhere else except in Jesus. I want to invite you to turn to Jesus from your heart. If you'll pray this prayer, speak to him in your language, he'll hear you, forgive you, and show his goodness to you. Let's all pray this together. Say, dear Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. I believe in you today. I thank you for your faithfulness. I believe in the cross. I believe in the resurrection. I sense your presence. Come into my heart. Live with me forever and help me to live for you. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. And I pray this in your name. If your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you just prayed that the first time, would you just raise your hand right now real high? Praise God. Praise God. Raise your hand real high. Amen. Amen. Keep them up all over. Just me looking around or your campus pastors. Their hands, raise them real high. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, bless your church. Help us to look at your faithfulness every single day that we live. You are faithful and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.